Test 1, 2. Test 1, 2. There we go. Okay. Excuse us. Excuse me. Isaiah chapter 61, please, verses 6 and 7. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Isaiah 61, beginning at verse 6. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of Jesus, the double cure for the double curse. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how we thank you today for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we felt. And Lord Jesus, we just turn the rest of this service over to you and your leading. Father, I ask for the wisdom to rightly expound the Word of God, and that, Lord, it would be enlightening to your people so that they could understand it, and it would be a blessing to them, Lord, and strengthen them in their walk with you. Touch us today, Holy Spirit of God. Show us one more time of the glory of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross to us. Make it evidently clear today, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. For years, the famous rock group of the 60s, the Beatles, tried to reunite again after their breakup in, I guess it was 68 or 69, I don't know. Each of the four gentlemen that comprised that group going their own way. They tried for years at different times to have a reunion, so to speak. And they never could quite pull it together because my personal belief is the egos involved, and it just kept them separated due to the interpersonal relationships going on within the group. Two of the members of that group have since passed from this life onto the next life. But just this last week, they finally got together and had a reunion of the remaining two living Beatles, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr. And upon reading about the situation that brought the reunion about, it shouldn't have surprised me, but it did. After years of them being apart and going their own separate ways musically and in their professional careers, what finally brought them back together was the knowledge of the spiritual experiences they claimed to have had in the late 60s. There was a man by the name of Maharishi Mahesh who became their spiritual guru and guide, teaching them the Hinduistic techniques of visualization. And I'm sure they didn't realize it, but in these techniques you are actually put in touch with demon spirits. And what brought them back together was they were investing millions of dollars into a program that one of their friends had formulated to teach children in schools what's called transcendental meditation, which emanated from their guru, Maharishi Mahesh. That's what brought about their reunion. Paul McCartney said that it would bring peace to children everywhere if they were taught transcendental meditation. He said, this is what brought peace to my and Ringo Starr's lives. And he said, if George and John were here, they too would testify of this. It's been this transcendental meditation that has brought peace to our lives. Now think of that. You say, what's the problem with that? Well, the big problem is they're wanting to teach this demon religion to school children. And they're exerting millions of dollars and all of their influence to teach this transcendental meditation to children in schools. Now think of that. It shows you one more time the lengths man will go to avoid really addressing the heart of his problem. Man's problem is sin. Sadly, every man, woman, boy, and girl born into this world comes with sin. They come not only with sin in their life, but they come with the curse of a sin nature on top of that. Hence, every effort is made on man's behalf to try and assuage the guilt and the heavy load that this sin causes him. And that's exactly what they're trying to do in teaching school children transcendental meditation, where they will be teaching school children to actually get in touch with demon spirits. And naturally, it's being applauded by the world, their efforts are. And even some in the church. And that effort to teach these children is in direct violation of what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He says, woe be unto you if you offend one of these little ones. Speaking of children, the most serious form of child abuse that could ever be perpetrated would be to teach children a demonized religion. That is the worst form of child abuse that could ever be perpetrated at any point in time. Because if you teach a child from the time he is young and impressionable that there is another way to God, that there is another way to find peace in your soul other than through the person and the man of Jesus Christ, you have condemned that child to an eternal darkness with no hope. And that child will grow up never believing in a system that is correct where he can get free from that horrible sin, curse of sin, and that horrible sin nature that's in all of us. I take no pride or pleasure in saying this today, but it's true. We're born bad. Every one of us. We're born bad. It's easier for us to do acts that are mean and wicked than it is to perform acts that are good and righteous. That's the sin nature in essence. That's why it is so important that the church take a stand, churches that are willing to do so, in this last day, to teach the right thing. That there is only one answer for this curse that plagues humanity. And that answer is Jesus Christ and His atoning work on the cross of Calvary. There's no hope in chanting a mantra. A mantra never changed anybody's life. There's no hope in placing your faith in Buddha or staring at a statue for hours on end. Those things will not bring peace, neither will they deliver man from sin. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that mankind's curse can be eradicated. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross that man can be cleansed from his sin. In other words, we're born with this double problem, a double curse. We have a sin nature, and we commit acts of sin. And we do it naturally. It's in us naturally. And imagine the horror of there being only one way to get clean before God, which of course is the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and never being told that or never hear that message. You know, the other day, can I use you, Austin? Austin's found, he and his friends have found this, these viaducts that they like to go and play in. And he and I were kidding about it the other day, and I just, in my description of it, I said, have you been playing in the sewer again? It's not a sewer, but it's a viaduct. And he came in all dirty, and he was real lucky. Mommy's gone this weekend. She's down at Grandma's helping Grandma out do some business and work on the house. But he came back really dirty. I told him, I said, buddy, just take your shoes off, let them dry, go get your shower and change. You know, I'm a dad. It's no big deal to me. Guys understand this kind of thing, that you like to play in the sewer. You know, it's, you have to be a guy to get it. I know you ladies are like, ooh, right now. But in any event, it really wasn't a sewer. But he went and got cleaned. But do you know, we're born as sinners. From God's perspective, with a dirt on us that goes to our very bones. That no effort can clean up on our part. We can't be good enough. We can't chant a mantra and make it go away. You can't use transcendental meditation to bring peace because of that sin that goes to your very being. But God Almighty, in His love for mankind, has opened up a fountain of cleansing, as the book of Zechariah says. You see, the bad news is that sin causes us to be unclean in God's sight. And there's no way through our human efforts we can cleanse ourselves. But God has provided a way for man to be clean, and it's the only way. When Jesus Christ, God's Son, shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, it's only through faith, by trusting in what He did on that cross, that that sin that goes to the very core of our being can be wiped away. That's why Isaiah well said it in one of the greatest scriptures in the Word of God. Isaiah 1:18, he said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them whiter than snow. I don't know what kind of situation you find yourself in this morning, but God sent me here this morning to tell you there is a way of peace. There is a way of cleansing. There is a way out from under this double curse that plagues everybody who's born into this planet. But there's only one way out of it, and that is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what makes His cross so important. That's what makes His shed blood so necessary to be preached. Because it's not a way of cleansing. It's not a path to God. It is the only way to be clean before God, and it is the only path to get to God. So we incurred this double curse. But Jesus Christ has provided the double cure through what He did on the cross. And that system of God's redemption is not negotiable. You see, mankind likes to think he can negotiate with God. Mankind likes to think, well, God, I'll serve you, but I'm going to do it this way. That's human arrogance and pride, further proof of the sin nature. Who are we to tell Almighty God what He can do? That's what rubs mankind about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why George, John, Paul, and Ringo would not come the route of Jesus Christ. Because when you come to Jesus, you come as a helpless sinner having no hope of redeeming yourself, and you fall at the feet of the world's Redeemer asking Him for His grace and His mercy. But the good news is, He said, he that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. When you come to Him in faith believing, He'll cleanse your sin. He'll set you free from the power of sin nature, and Jesus Christ is the only one who can do it. Buddha can't do it. Muhammad can't do it. Transcendental meditation can't do it. But the Holy Spirit wants you to know today that Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, is all powerful to cleanse your sin and to set you free from the power of sin. And He is the only one who can do it. He is the double cure for the double curse. And only Jesus can do it. What are the ramifications of the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Let me tell you first of all, that God takes care of our sin problem in His way. And His way is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And the ramifications of the shed blood of Jesus have three major areas that it addresses. The first one may shock you. The shed blood of Jesus Christ was first for God Himself. Now maybe you never thought of it that way. We who are heirs of the great redemption that we have in Jesus Christ, the great salvation that we possess, we always turn it on ourselves first, but that's really incorrect. The cross, the atoning work of the cross, was first for Almighty God. Now you say, Pastor, how can you make a statement like that? Not that God needed redemption in any way. Not that God was a sinner. No. It's that God loves you and I. And He knew we had no way out of this sin problem, this double curse. He knew we had no way at all to set ourselves free from it. He also knew that His justice demanded that sin be the penalty for sin be paid. His system of legal justice demanded that where the law was broken, a penalty was to be paid for God's law of being broken. Let me ask you this. Has anybody in here kept all Ten Commandments every day of your life since you've been born? If not, then you're an unrighteous sinner in need of a Savior. If you've ever lied in the least little bit, even what we might term a white lie, that means you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Because God demands 100% perfection if we're going to have a relationship to Him. I want you to think of that for just a moment. He demands that everything about us be holy and completely perfect and righteous in His sight. But yet we had this problem of the sin making us dirty in His sight, going to the very core of our being. And because of God's great love, to meet His demands of justice and to meet His demands of 100% perfection, He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross and to pay the penalty that you and I should have paid, because we were the ones that broke the law. Christ never broke the law. And have His Son shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, so it would then be possible for God to re-enter into a relationship with you and I, because through the efficacy of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we're first made clean, and secondly, God's demand of justice is totally met, and that Jesus Christ paid our penalty for the broken law. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. So the cross was first for God, because God could not relate to us had Jesus Christ not shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. First of all, paying the penalty for the broken law, and secondly, providing an agent of spiritual cleansing for all of us. And I'm here to tell you, when you come to the cross of Christ and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you place your faith in it, you are made totally clean and totally perfect before God. Somebody needs to hear this morning. I don't care how badly you failed in your life. I don't care how much sexual sin you've committed. I don't care how many drugs you've pumped down your body. I don't care how much Jim Beam you've been drinking. If you'll come to Jesus Christ and place your faith in Him, He will not refuse you. He loves you. He's true to His word. And He'll deliver you from sin. He'll clean you to your very being. And He's the only one that can do it. God wants somebody to hear this morning. God is not angry with you. God loves you. But the cross was first for God. And now God, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, has made it possible for you to relate to Him again and for you to meet every standard that He has, but it's only met through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way. So the blood was first for Almighty God. It was Godward. Secondly, the shed blood of Jesus Christ was, of course, manward. And that God demands that we place faith exclusively in what Jesus did at the cross. Oh, somebody needs to hear this morning so badly. If you need delivered from sin today, God has made a way for that to happen. If you want to be set free from sin's power over your life, God's made a way and made it possible. But there's only one way, and you don't get to negotiate with God on how it's done. He developed the system. And the sacrifice of His Son on the cross is so precious to Him. It was first for God. And it's so precious to Him that He will not compromise that beautiful, magnificent, atoning work of His Son on the cross for anybody. God has His hand extended to mankind this morning. It's a hand of love. It's a hand of grace. But at the tip of that hand is a cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. And He says, I will cleanse you. I will relate to you. I love you. I will no longer hold your sin against you, but you must do it in the way that I have prescribed, and you don't get to make the choice on how it's going to be done. That's all together. That's why it's called the gospel. That's why it's called good news. And I'm here to tell you, when the Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, that's exactly what it means. You can walk out of this church this morning totally clean and totally free from sin's power, as if you never committed a sin, but that is only possible when you place your faith and trust exclusively in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It was Godward. The blood of Jesus was, first of all. Secondly, it was toward you and I, so that we could have a way to be made right before Him. Thirdly, and this one ought to just make us all shout, the blood was shed for Satan. What? Boy, I've seen eyes popping open on that one. Blood shed for Satan? No, Satan will not be redeemed. But the blood was shed as an eternal reminder to him, you have been defeated. Glory to God. It was Godward. It was manward. And lastly, it was Satanward. So that Satan will evermore look on the shed blood of Jesus Christ and know, my power has been totally stripped. That's why the Bible in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All is made new. Let me try just a moment to try to simplify that in case you wouldn't understand it. At the very moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross, and you ask God, God, will you cleanse me from my sin through the shed blood of your Son that I'm placing my faith in? God, will you set me free from this horrible thing called the sin nature that so drives my life and makes me do things I really don't want to do, that I can't even understand when I'm doing them, why I'm doing them. I know they're wrong, but I can't quit it. I can't stop it. At the very moment you come to the cross and express faith in Jesus Christ, God Almighty in His mind does a beautiful work. If any person, would really be the way to say it, man or woman, if any person places their faith in Jesus Christ, God takes that person, say this hand here would be Jesus, and this finger you. God in His mind takes you and puts you in Christ. What does that mean? Why does that excite you so, preacher? Because once I'm placed in Christ, that means my sin, past, present, and future, and the power of the sin is buried in Jesus Christ. And now when God Almighty looks at me on the basis of my faith alone in Jesus Christ, this is what He's seeing. Jesus Christ. He sees the holiness of Jesus. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. He counts you and I then as having kept all 10 commandments. He counts you and I as having never sinned, nor will we sin in the future, as long as we keep our faith in Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All is made new. And the only way it's possible is through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. You see, that's why it's impossible to overpreach the cross. It is. You missed a good opportunity to say amen there. You can't overpreach the cross. You want me? I'll prove it to you. Michelle testified of this morning. Thank you for providing me with an illustration, Michelle. She talked about what a terrible day she was having. And as she looked at the phone pole, she said every few feet there was a cross. What a great illustration. That's how often we have to be reminded of it. Because we're so quickly to forget it as human beings. We're so quickly to forget about the power and the glory and the cleansing that we possess with our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. If we're not reminded of it, we'll forget it. I'm going to tell you all, I'm not ashamed to admit it. That's why I preach it so often. There are times through the week I forget about it. Yeah, I'll find my flesh lapsing in to a mode of thinking that is improper, to where I need my mind renewed, just like Michelle testified of. That's what I'm talking about. To where I need to be reminded. Wait. Yeah, there may not be a lot of money in my bank account. Yeah, maybe things aren't going the way, or maybe every area of my life is not perfect or going the way I think it ought to go. But there is one thing that is absolutely sure, certain, and secure. I'm in Christ. Woo! I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. My sins are washed away. God is not angry with me. God lives in me now. Hallelujah. Heaven is my home, and that can never be taken away from me. Glory to God. And when you think on those things, and that's what the Bible was referring to, when it said, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any good report, think on these things. Do you know what that's talking about? For years, I heard it preached, and I believed it this way. And you'll hear some preachers preach it this way. Well, just think good thoughts. This is the Joel Osteen gospel. Just be good, be kind, and think good things. You know, ain't that what the Bible says? What a fool. What a fool. It's talking about the cross. It's talking about the cross. Whatsoever things are pure, Jesus. Whatsoever things are lovely, Jesus. If there be any virtue, Jesus. If there be any good report, Jesus. Think on these things. Glory to God. And we need to be reminded of that every few feet of the way. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Can set us free. And his shed blood addressed those three major areas. It was first for God. Secondly, it was for man. Lastly, it was for Satan to evermore remind him, you have no more power, you have no more hold over anyone who is in me. Their sins are washed away. I count them as having kept my law. And as glorious as that is, that's the solution to every problem mankind's facing. I'm telling you, that's the solution to every problem you're facing right now. Jesus addressed it on the cross. Jesus addressed it on the cross. And that's why any other method, whether it be psychology, whether it be you taking pills, whether it be you chanting a mantra, whether it involve you doing transcendental meditation, is not going to bring peace to your soul, because none of those things address our problem as humans. Our problem as humans is sin. And only Jesus Christ can address the sin problem. Hence, we're under this double curse until Christ, who has provided the double cure through what he did on the cross, sets us free. In Isaiah chapter 61, when he said, "For your shame, you shall have double." That's a beautiful, beautiful metaphor that if you don't put it in proper context as what's being said, you'll miss it. The double referred to in Zechariah 9 and 12 and here in Isaiah chapter 61 verse 7 refers to the double twice. And that he said, "For your shame you shall have double, and you shall possess the double." The double was an Old Testament concept based upon debt that was owed. It was the practice in that day that when an individual, for whatever reason, sickness, through foolishness, rang up more debt than they could pay and had to go bankrupt, the only way they could be forgiven, and they wouldn't actually be forgiven of the debt, but the only way that the debtors could not take action against them, they would be required to write every debt down on a slip of paper and say, "I have not paid these debts that I owe." And they would have to sign the document with their name. And they would then have to take that document and post it on the gate entering in the city so that everyone who walked by when they looked on it would see this person owed this debt. They hadn't paid the debts they owed. But there was a system of redemption, and that if a kind stranger or anybody who wanted to, when they entered into the city, if they saw that list of debts in that person's name, if they wanted to take down that list and go to those individuals that were listed and pay the debt for that person, they could. And after every name on that list of debts, after every debtor was paid, the one who paid the debts off would take that slip of paper and he would fold it in half. And he would then write on it, "Paid in full," and sign his name to it. And take it back to the gate of the city and repost it. So that the name of the person that was left owing debt was never seen anymore. The only document was there was a document signed by another individual that said, "All these debts are paid in full." You see, sin is a debt to God. And us being born into sin with a sin nature, we owe God. We owe God. And what we owe God and what God demands that we pay is more than we as humans can pay. We can't save ourselves from sin. God's requirement of being sin-free is that we live an absolutely perfect life in every area. Here's where the cross of Christ enters the scene. God sent Jesus, and Jesus on the cross, by shedding his blood, paid the sin debt. And if you come to him and you come to Christ and you say, "Lord, I place my faith and trust, Jesus, in what you did for me at the cross. Will you forgive my debt that I owe God?" He says, "I've already paid the price." And spiritually speaking, he takes your life, wipes all the sin out of it, and writes before God on your life, "I paid the debt in full." And God no longer sees your sin anymore. He just sees where it's been paid in full. My Lord, would somebody give Jesus a hand of praise this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish." Christ gave himself as a sacrifice to pay the sin debt. And that great salvation is not automatic. That's universalism. Christ's death on the cross made forgiveness and cleansing from sin possible. You see, until you trust in what he did for you alone, it's not automatic. You're still in your sin. If you're trying to chant a mantra and you're trusting that for your inner peace and cleansing from your sin, you're still in sin. If you're trusting in Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, or any other individual, you're still in sin. If you're trusting in a plan or program at your church, you're still in sin. Only Jesus is the double cure for the double curse. Only Jesus. And he addressed every area of it. He addressed it Godward first of all. And that he met God's demands and that Jesus Christ never committed a sin. So his shed blood was first for God. Secondly, his shed blood was for us. So that when we put faith in what he did on the cross, we could be delivered from sin's power. Lastly, that shed blood was for Satan. And that Satan now looks at every redeemed child of God and he only sees what God sees, paid in full. And he has no power or authority over anyone who is sin-free because that individual is kept by the power of God. What should that do to us? To know that God is satisfied and his judgment passes over us. How should we behave knowing that now through Jesus Christ we have access to Almighty God? I want you to think of that for a moment. We have access to Almighty God. I want to read you a scripture. It's found in Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near with a heart of full assurance. I've addressed and I'm going to just be about 5 more minutes. I addressed the first half of this message to those who don't know Christ, but now, these last few moments, I feel the Holy Spirit would have me address and have our attention turned to those who know Christ. A lot of us don't get our prayers answered because of a lack of faith. The Holy Spirit told us earlier in a word of prophecy, why aren't you trusting me? It's so easy to turn from the cross, even those of us who hear it weekly and who study it daily. That shows you how quick we are to deviate from God's plan. Now let me qualify my statement. You know, I'm not no kind of hyper-faith preacher. And I'm not suggesting that because you haven't worked up enough faith, your prayers aren't getting answered. That's not it at all. It says, knowing that our consciences have been sprinkled and we've been washed clean, let us draw near to God with a full assurance. How many times in my life am I guilty of praying, thinking, well, God ain't going to answer this because I've been too bad this week. I failed him here or there. He's not going to answer this. That's a weak faith, my brother and sister. Why is it weak? Because it's not focused on the cross. Do you see that? Lord, help me. I feel like I'm not putting this across right. And that when our faith is in the cross and our focus is on Christ and his redemptive work in our lives, we can have a confidence toward God that, yes, God is going to answer my prayer. Not based on my performance, but based upon my faith. And a weak prayer that is a faithless prayer is one that says, I'm going to pray it, but I've just been too bad for God to do anything good for me. That's a weak faith. That's saying that what he did on the cross really didn't clean me up enough. Because if I was clean enough, God would answer my prayer. My brothers and my sisters, some of you need some answers to some big prayers this morning. Draw near to God with full confidence, not based on your performance as a human being, because that'll cause you to have no faith at all. Draw near to God based upon your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, delivering you in totality from the double curse, making you spotless and clean and white as snow before God. You can come before him with a confidence that says, God loves me, he's washed me clean, he lives in me, he is my God, he will answer my prayer, and you'll get some answers then. Draw near with that full assurance that the cross brings. We draw that confidence that God will hear us and answer us, not predicated upon our human performance, but predicated on what Jesus did. Do you see that today? That's why so few prayers get answered. And I mean, I know no is an answer too. Yeah, sometimes God's going to tell us no. But I'm going to tell you what. More times than not, he says yes. Because we're his children. Woo! We're in Christ. We're his children. If you need a promotion, you need a raise, take it to him. God ain't going to make everybody a millionaire, but he wants to see you blessed. And he is a blesser. And he will bless his children. I know what I'm talking about. It may not be the way that you think it ought to come, but if you go to him in faith believing, and by that I'm saying you're drawn near him with a full confidence and assurance based on what he did for you on the cross, knowing that it's because of Jesus I can approach God today. It's because of Jesus he's going to answer my prayer. There's where your confidence comes from. There's where your assurance comes from, is the knowledge of what Christ did on the cross. If your assurance of answered prayer comes from human performance, that's why so few prayers get answered. Because most pray, and I've been guilty of it myself, with the idea, God won't do this for me, I'm too bad. Can I tell you this in closing? I'm speaking to believers now. I want you to think for a moment. I really concentrate for just a moment on the greatest miracle that God ever worked for you. Get it in your mind. Thank you, Michelle, for going to the piano. Get it in your mind. If you know God and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I know he's worked a miracle for you. He's worked at least one for you. He saved you and washed you clean. That's the greatest miracle. But I know if you've walked with him any length of time and asked him for anything, he's done a great miracle of deliverance or helped you in a miraculous way or provided for you in a miraculous way. Get it in your head. Go back there in your mind to the day he did it. And now I want you to think about the events surrounding your life when that was going on, when he did this miracle. Was you perfect then? Were there things going on in your life that shouldn't have been there? And he did it anyway, didn't he? You may be down and feel like God has somehow forgotten that you are faced with circumstances you can't go through. But he's the God of the sun and the moon and the stars, and he is your Father. And I forgot the words, but he'll find some way. How's it goes, Paul? Find some way to fix this for you, and he'll do it again. He'll do it again. Just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. Hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as then. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Hallelujah! He'll do it again! Believe him big today for whatever you have need of. And approach him with an assurance and a confidence that he's going to do it because I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Would you stand to your feet? Glory to God. The blood of Christ. The double cure for the double curse. And the only cure there is, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Please be reverent now. Holy Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus, we ask for your conviction now. We ask for you to show sinners Jesus now. And that Jesus is the only hope for any of us. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you, where are you with God? All of us have failed him. None of us have met his standard, not a one of us. There's nobody in this building this morning, in and of themselves, through their own efforts, that's holy and right before God. Not a one. There's not a person in this world that's holy and right before God based on anything they've done. The only thing that can cleanse us from sin and deliver us from sin's power is trusting in Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross. And you can't negotiate that with God. You can't cut a deal with God on that. He will deliver you. He will set you free from sin. He will give you a brand new life. But He'll only do it on His terms, not yours, not mine. And He has clearly outlined His terms in the Word of God. And one of the most beautiful scriptures in the Word, John 3:16, many of you can quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Notice it said, whosoever believeth in Him. It didn't say whosoever is good enough, whosoever can perform to God's standards, because nobody can. Only Jesus lived sinless. Only Jesus Christ met God's standards. And only Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin on the cross. That's why it's only through Jesus Christ mankind can be delivered. And if you're bound by sin this morning, I don't want you to feel like I don't want you to be embarrassed. Because all of us were sinners at one time, but now we came to Christ. And God's hand of grace and His hand of love, through the words I've said today, He's reached out to you to let you know, I love you. I've made a way for my law to be kept. I've made a way for your sin to be cleansed. And you've heard about it today. And now if you'll come to me, if you'll come to my Son Jesus, I'll cleanse you. I'll deliver you. I'll make it as if you never sinned. And I'll give you a brand new life. Only Jesus Christ has the power to do what I'm preaching about. If that's you this morning and you need and you want this new life, you need and you want to be cleansed from sin, I want you to slip up a hand right now unashamedly. I promise you I won't embarrass you. I promise you. Are there any at all? I need Jesus. I've believed through your words today, I know He is the only way. That I'm never going to extricate, I'm never going to get out of sin's power in my life. I'm never going to make myself clean before God. And that if I died, I haven't met God's standard. I'll go into an eternity without God. I'll face His judgment without the blood of Christ applied to my life. The Holy Spirit is extending and showing to you God's plan of salvation now. Will you receive it? If you want it, just simply slip up a hand and say, yes, that's me. Are there any at all? Hold it up high so I'll see it. I won't embarrass you, I promise. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I need Jesus. And it's not shameful to admit you need Him. We all need Jesus. But your salvation will not be automatic just because He died on the cross. Until you place your faith and trust and give your life over to Him, you will not experience the joy of having your sin cleansed and knowing that you're right with God. One last time, are there any at all but uplifted hand who'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. The Holy Spirit, you may not understand it, but what you're feeling right now in your heart, the Holy Spirit I know is showing several of you. He's right. What He's telling you is the truth. You need Jesus. And He's wooing you to Jesus Christ. He's trying to lovingly show you, yes, come to Christ. Don't put this decision off. You're making an eternal decision this morning. Are there any one last time who would say, I want Jesus. I need Jesus. Hold up your hand high. I won't embarrass you. Any at all. And I'm going to ask everyone who would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we stand in the presence of God around this altar now, I feel to direct the rest of this altar call to the saint of God. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants it reemphasized. And I want to read it so I won't get it wrong. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Draw near to Him today with what you have need of, with a full assurance and confidence that He's your God, and that Him doing good things for you, for all of us, is not based upon how good we are as humans. It's based on who we are in Christ. And if you know your faith is in Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross, focus on that as you ask Him this morning. Some of you need to ask Him for big things. But nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too big for God. Some of you need deliverance from alcohol, drugs, pornography, lust, whatever it may be. Some of you need more money. Some of you need a promotion. Some of you need a better job than what you got right now. God wants to do all these things for His children. Some of you just need a job. Nothing's too hard for Him. And He's a big God, so ask Him big today. Nothing's too big for Him. And ask Him with proper faith. As I said, think about the last time He worked a miracle for you. You weren't perfect then, and He did it. You had your faith in the right place. That's all God. Oh, hallelujah, aren't you glad? It doesn't make your soul do flip-flops to know that's all God requires of us. That's all He requires. That's it. So draw near to Him today with your request, with a full assurance that He's going to do it for me. Some of you may need a healing in your physical body. There are so many things that I know I could go through and probably lay hands on everybody in here this morning, and we could pray for you, and that would be okay, but I don't feel the Lord leading me to do that today. I felt the Holy Spirit saying, teach them to come to me in the right way. Let me lay my hand on them. Hallelujah. My hand can't do nothing for you. His hand can do everything for you. Praise God. Praise God. Ask Him big right now. As you stand around this altar, go to Him with a full assurance of faith. And don't you dare focus on any failure you've ever had. You focus on how clean you are in Jesus Christ. How righteous you are in Jesus Christ. How His blood has cleansed you from all sin. And let me tell you this as you're going to Him. You're in Christ. You're in Christ. You're in Christ. That means that it's just like Jesus asking God when you go to Him. Woo! If that don't build faith in you, nothing will. It's just like Jesus asking Him. Because you're in Christ. You see, we sometimes think of everything coming down from heaven through Christ, and that's correct. But oh, my brother and sister, never forget. Everything goes back up to heaven through Christ. Wow. Ask Him big now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come knowing that we have been sprinkled and we have been washed. And we have confidence and we have faith today to know that You're going to hear us and You're going to answer. Lord, to everyone who's asking You for another miracle, for another life-changing event to occur, grant it right now and give them the full assurance that You're going to grant it. Because You're a good God. We are Your children and You love us. I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you, pay raises are coming. Jobs are coming. Healings are happening right now. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Marriages are being healed right now. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. You're asking Him in faith. Now you're praying in faith right now. And God always hears the prayer of faith. Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep asking Him. And just praise Him and thank Him that He's heard you. And you know the answer's come this hour. Thank Him for it. Praise Him for it. Act like it. That's how faith behaves. Lord, we thank You that You've heard us today. And that answers have come this moment in time. And we will see the manifestations of the answers to our prayers very shortly. Hallelujah. Very shortly. This is powerful prayer that's going up from this altar this morning, church. I feel it. We're praying in faith today. He's a big God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you need a change in your job situation even. He's going to do that for you. Ask him now with the full assurance that because you're clean and you're His child, He's going to do it for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise You and thank You for the shed blood of Jesus Christ that makes it possible for us to draw near God. With full assurance and confidence, we have a confidence toward God that He is our Father and that He will answer and bless us over and abundantly. As we close service today, I want to remind you of the Scripture. Now, unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Praise God. Praise God. It's the Holy Spirit working in you that gave you the power to believe Him today. That's what that scripture means. According to the power that works in you. You couldn't have approached His throne today were the Holy Spirit not giving you the 100% assurance, I'm washed clean in His blood. I'm His child. Whew! That's how it happens. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Church, you ought to praise Him right now. Somebody ought to act like they touched heaven this morning because you have.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some of you, I know it. I sense it in my spirit. You're feeling refreshed. You're feeling like, man, today I've really touched heaven. Every time you pray, it ought to be like that, church. For all of us. But you know what happens to us? We forget about the cross when we pray. And we become focused on us and upon our performance and think, well, God just ain't going to do this for me. None of us would never get an answer to any kind of prayer if God only answered His children's prayers that way. Not a one of us. But we're in Christ. So we can draw near with a full confidence and assurance that we're clean and He'll hear us. And He'll answer. Give Him a hand of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I want to invite you all over to have dinner with us. The youth are having a dinner today as a fundraiser to go to Baton Rouge. Please come join us if you can. I guess, Chris, where is he? Even if they don't have tickets, there's probably enough over there for everybody, ain't they? So come on over, pay Chris your $10. If you don't have $10, grab me. We'll pay for your dinner today, okay? And please come join us. Don't let money be an object. Praise God. Mahari, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning?